That was my boys Wu-Tang with the gravel pit. Big shout to Shaolin, 36 Chambers, Wu-Tang affiliates, and the whole Killer Bee Nation. You know what I mean? So it's after midnight. You know what it is. It's your boy Jay Gibson, Rethink Rich Academy CEO and founder. I am also the CEO and founder of Signature Strategy Group. Right? And I'm also the host of Late Night Boss Talk. Because if it's after the midnight and you ain't up, then you ain't down. So tonight we're going to talk about something crazy. We're going to talk about a little mouse that took over the world. And no, it ain't Pinky and the Brain for you cartoon nerds out there. I know you like Pinky and the Brain like me. But we're going to get to some Late Night Boss Talk. We're talking about Disney. The biggest boss is a little mouse. This is Late Night Boss Talk, number 5. Get ready, lock in, because we going in. That's what it is. Ow! Yeah. What's going on, people? This your boy, Jay Gibson, CEO, founder of Rethink Rich Academy, the new face of finance. Get used to it. And you're listening to Late Night Boss Talk. We getting it in. Now, what I want to talk about tonight, it's something that, you know, I've been doing research and I'm trying to, you know, bring y'all some hot content, stuff that everybody else ain't going to be talking about. That's why you tuning in to Late Night Boss Talk. I want to thank everybody that been supporting the movement. Big shout out to my boy Matt Sims over there at Stop Beefing Radio, amplified by us and a few other movements, but I ain't going to put all this business in the street. You feel me? But the Midwest is riding with us right now, so I definitely want to give a big salute to everybody that's down with that movement, you know, and also everybody that's all around the world that's saluting this bit Late Night Boss Talk, because I'm bringing this to you live, man. So we're going to get right to the point tonight. We talking about one of the biggest companies in the world, and you would never think that one little mouse could run the globe. But I'm going to just put it out there right now. We're going to decode Disney. That's the name of this episode, Decoding Disney. And we're going to give you a lot of game tonight that's going to help you develop your business and see how you can start with a simple product, but do it better than anybody else, and then you can take over any lane. So while you want to specialize in the lane you're in, never limit yourself to thinking that you got to stay where you at, because I'm telling you, you can always go bigger and better when you're rocking with your boy Jay Gibson and you stay listening to Late Night Boss Talk. So Disney, I know a lot of people heard a lot of stuff in the news. You know, Disney has made some big acquisitions in the last, you know, the last few years. You know, they've been moving and shaking. They own a little bit of everything. But what you don't know is how many different sectors that they're in. You feel what I'm saying? And right now, I'm just going to break it down for y'all. Y'all not going to believe this, but I'm going to let y'all know right now it's really going down. So how many different sectors would you say Disney is in? Now, I know you know they're an animation company, film and media, but what would you say? If you wanted to place a bet right now, would you say 5? You know, would you say they have about 20 companies under their belt? Well, I'm here to tell you right now, there's at least over 200 companies that's within the portfolio. And that's on the low end, right? But let me explain to you how many sectors they're in. Film, television, music and radio, gaming, finance. That's right, I said finance. So I'm the new face of finance. You know they couldn't get no money without me knowing nothing about it. But they're also in theater, they're in consumer goods, property and parks. What are they doing in the park? Well, they do have their own parks. They're in publishing and digital, right? Just, you know, just anything digital. Now, why is that important? That's important because when you look at what they do, they started off as an animation company, right? And they also started with the theme parks. Everybody everywhere in the world knows about Disney World and Disneyland. Everybody in the world knows about Mickey Mouse. Now, I can sit here and we can go through a whole, you know, case study of the mouse and how they, you know, broke into the industry. But I think you already know who Disney is and what they do best. What I'm here to show you is how they have grown from where they started at to taking over from one lane to the whole highway, right? So That's what this episode is about. So listen up. So like I said, they have a lot of different acquisitions. They have a lot of different properties and holdings. And I mean, this is just a mega corporation. This thing is like, you know, I don't even understand, you know, how they keep track of all this stuff. Because you imagine when they do their taxes. I mean, this is crazy. So, you know, I'm just going to go over some of the bigger names. And then we're going to go from there. Now, I told you the sectors they're in, right? They have the whole Marvel universe. I know you, most of you Marvel heads, you probably heard about that. Okay, yeah. But what you don't realize is they have the brand Marvel, Marvel Entertainment, under their umbrella. They also have Marvel Studios. Now, within that, you have a lot of subsectors that people don't realize. So just within the Marvel universe, you have Marvel Toys, Marvel Television, right? You have Marvel Internet Productions. You have Marvel Entertainment International Limited. You have Marvel Incredible Productions in Canada, right? You have Marvel Characters. You have Marvel Characters Incorporated. You have Marvel Development, Marvel Properties, Marvel International Charter Holdings, right? What's that? I don't even want to go in that folder because who knows, right? And then within that, they have subsectors. So you have Marvel Toys, then you have Marvel Toys Limited, right? That's just in Hong Kong. When you're talking about Marvel Television, you got something Green Guy Toons, Squad Productions, and a bunch of other stuff in here. Marvel Animation. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, right? Then you go over here to, you know, the Marvel Worldwide Incorporated. You also have Cover Concepts, right? So that's the people who may have done the covers for the comics. Marvel Press, Marvel Comics itself, the company Marvel Comics. And then you have Marvel Custom Solutions. So who knows what that is? Maybe that's their characters and stuff that people use at their birthday parties. But then they also have, like I said, Marvel Property. Right. So any properties, maybe the actual studios they own through a separate company. And so they just have layers and layers and layers, man. I mean, this thing goes on and on and on and on and on. Now, when you get to Marvel Studios, you have Marvel Music. I didn't know they had a record label. Did you? Right. I bet you didn't. But they got it here. There's so many LLCs on this thing, man, please. So I'm just telling you guys, and everything I just named, that's just Marvel. Like I told you, we could do a 5-part series on this. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a 3-part series. So tonight we're going to decode Disney, and we're just going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about the Marvel acquisition, and then we're going to get into the actual decoding the brand. How the basics. We're going to start the basics. We ain't even going to get to the Marvel. Y'all heard of Marvel already. I'm making an audible, right? That's what I do on Late Night Boss Talk. When you a real boss, see, time out. This is a real good gem for you. When you a boss, you have to make the split decisions on the spot, right? You can't, you know, turn back when you say, hey, I'm going to do one thing, but you might have to make an adjustment. You may have to do something different. So like I said, what I'm going to do is we're going to talk about the structure, right? We're going to start from the beginning. I'm going to keep it simple for y'all. So decoding Disney part one, I told you just a little taste. We're going to break this thing down. The foundation of Disney, right, all came from an idea. So once again, when you hear all these people, these so-called gurus, these so-called successful people telling you, oh, I don't just want to have an idea and you got to have a plan and you got to have it. Walt Disney didn't have all of this in his mind when he started. All he knew is that people like animations. And he came up with the character Mickey Mouse. Right now, the first animated motion picture that they put out, which may have been the first one in history. I'm not Wikipedia right now. I can backtrack that. I'll let y'all know in the next episode. But one of the first animations I know for sure was Steamboat Willie. Right. And that was, you know, it didn't even have any sound. It was just, you know, him driving the steamboat. Now, from that, they developed the characters. They developed a whole family of characters, right? But the first superstar character was Mickey Mouse and his adventures. And then you had Miss Mickey and all of that stuff. So you had to have an environment around him. And what they realized is, you know, in animation, they didn't really want to do comics. They just wanted to do short little animation. So the best place at the time was television, which at that time was a new medium. That's very important to pay attention to as we go through. Every single thing that I just laid out for you in these first 10 minutes was just letting you know the different sectors they're in. But if you know anything about Disney, it's almost as if as they grow as a business, they make sure that they have everything in-house, right? So they are a self-contained unit, right? Self-sustainable. So if they're going to have parks, why not have a property company that they can do business with when they have to sell the land and they're not, you're not dealing with Disney itself. You're dealing with a subdivision or a subsidiary of the major corporation, right? So if they're going to get into the theme park business, they're going to own the land. And not only that, we're going to start a company that owns that part of the land. So if they ever have any disputes over the land, it won't affect the core, right? The principal. Right? The brand. So it's almost, think of it as an onion. You have the core of that onion, but there's about 100 layers in between. And so when I talked the other night to you guys about getting through the layers of the gatekeepers, right? When gatekeepers call, and when you're trying to get through gatekeepers and you're trying to do business, right? But also when you become your own gatekeeper, when you totally live in a gated community, that's the difference. When we're talking Disney, they don't just have gatekeepers. They got a gated community. You feel me? Soak up that game real quick, right? I'm gonna give you a second to soak that up. But now, pay attention. So we're focused on how did they do that? And while some people like animation, some people don't, everybody likes entertainment. It's just a human emotion to laugh or to smile or to have a good feeling. So they provided content, right? Think about this. One of the biggest companies in the world didn't make cars, right? Didn't build big old buildings. I mean, yeah, when they did their theme parks, they did. But you know what I mean? They weren't a construction company, right? They didn't invent some crazy invention. They didn't have anything to do with medicine. They weren't lawyers. They weren't, their first superstar wasn't even a real person. But they provided quality entertainment, family entertainment. And you know what they based that on? They based that on their mission statement. Now, I have here Disney's mission statement. I'm going to just give you a excerpt from that. And basically, what it says is this. Disney's mission statement is to entertain, inform, and inspire people around the globe through the power of unparalleled storytelling, reflecting the iconic brands, creative minds, and innovative technologies that make ours the world's premier entertainment company. Right? So that is an excerpt from Disney's mission statement. Now, that's telling you their mission, their purpose, their focus, their assignment is to entertain, inform, and inspire people around the globe. How are they going to do that? Through the power of unparalleled storytelling that reflects the iconic brands. Isn't Mickey an iconic brand? Right? The creative minds and innovative technologies. So they're telling you from day one, they're using technology. Animation is technology, right? They had to have creativity. I mean, they actually call some of their people, Imagineers. So the whole company culture is built around the fact of ideas, but then they go and they develop those ideas, but they have separate teams that actually work on the mechanics and the logistics of the idea. Then you have Imagineers who just come up with the actual concepts. So when you sit back and you keep listening to some of these other people, some of these other places that tell you that don't just come at me with ideas. Disney was a person that not only encouraged you to come at you with ideas. Now, he may slap them down, right, if he didn't like them, but he would catalog those ideas. And even if he didn't use that idea in the current project they're working on, he brought it back years later, maybe that it would fit for something else. That's why you should always write your ideas down, record them, but don't just leave them on these phones. We lose these phones, right? That's a subject we can get to on another night. Stop putting everything in the phone. Have a backup. The cloud, what happens if the cloud disappears, right? You want to make sure you have hard copies, right? Make recordings, download them, and then burn them onto a CD. What? What is that called? A CD, right? Google it, right? You can probably still go to, you know, Amazon and get some blank CDs from somewhere. Your computer, you know, your laptop should have a drive for CDs. If you don't have one, then find one. But put your stuff on something that's a hard copy. The best place to start and the cheapest one is a notebook, right? You can get you one of those black and white composition notebooks and write your ideas down. So I'm giving you game from directly from one of the biggest companies in the world, which is built on ideas. So now that's telling you their mission statement. So before we go any further, you can see from the beginning, this is where they aspired to go. This is what they represented, and this is what they executed on, right? They stayed in their lane, which was providing entertainment. Now, if anybody knows Disney, traditionally it was built on family entertainment. When you think about that, that aligns with the values of the people who run the company, but it's also smart marketing because they saw a gap in the marketplace for something you could take your kids to and you could still enjoy the movie as well, right? Or you can come to the theme park or you could watch a television show. So what most people don't know, they think it's all animation. They think only Mickey Mouse, but they ran into, you know, hard times. It wasn't easy for Walt Disney or his team to go from just that first little Steamboat Willie cartoon to running the world, right? But what he did was he always adjusted and adapted to the new technology. So when color television came out, what Walt Disney did was start developing a television program, right? And he developed a television program built around what he wanted to do and his characters and the content that he had. For a long time, Disney did storylines that were not so-called so much animated, but they were basically parodies of stories that were already there. The Davy Crockett, right? Stuff out in the West. They had a lot of old Westerns they would put out. They had a lot of just programming, you know, a lot of the stuff, Mary Poppins. That's an old English play and something like that. So they took that stuff, rebranded it, repackaged it. Right. And they brought it to market and they brought it on the television on Saturday afternoons, weekends, times where people, the networks didn't have a lot to fill those slots. Still to this day, you'll see some local, car dealership commercial, you know, or some infomercial for some beauty product. You'll see on a Saturday afternoon on ABC, NBC, a main channel. That's because during that time, most people traditionally are out with their families. They're not sitting home watching TV. And even nowadays, if they are, they're probably on a streaming network and not on regular TV, right? Or what they call terrestrial TV. But I don't want to get too complicated for you. Just to let you know I passed my SAT with flying colors my junior year. You heard? Now, anyway, back to Disney. So they represent themselves as an entertainment company that puts out quality products using technology and creativity. Right. So now, like I said, they put out the TV shows. The TV shows ran for a while. Now, once he had that platform, that's around the same time he cooked up the idea for the park. So what he was able to do was transition the TV shows to not just show, you know, the Davy Crockett's and, the Snow White's and all of that other stuff. And the Mary Poppins, he started talking about and basically had free commercials for his theme park. So before the theme park was even built, right? Once he secured, all he did was he went and found the land. Now, even the way he did that, see, I'm gonna dig deep for y'all. Even the way he went and got the land. So he had the idea, but then he executed on, he planned it out, at least the first initial stages, right? He didn't have all the money from the beginning. I want to make sure that's clear too. He didn't have all the money, right? But he had the idea and he had a platform, which gave him an opportunity, right? And so what he did was he basically had a mock-up made of what the park would look like. And he went and secured the land. Now, when he went and secured this land, he was smart enough to know, I don't know his family background, but they had to have somebody that was smart in real estate. He knew from I guess, different experiences and way companies do business, which this is key to learn. If he would have went and bought up 150 acres or whatever he needed as Disney, they would jack up the price because they would see him buying. Because think about it, he's buying lots. So this at this point, this was undeveloped land. It was just out there in Florida. You know, nobody, you know, had touched it, you know, out there in California, this undeveloped land. So the places he put his parks, they were undeveloped. So what he did, instead of buying one big plot of land and then, you know, when he needed extra land, of course, it would be five times the price just because he was going to put a theme park there. He had a bunch of other people. So this is when you can see the beginnings of the tentacles, of the octopus tentacles. And he started a bunch of different small companies that he was behind, basically shell companies. But in this case, they weren't used to just move money. They were actual companies buying for that specific purpose, to buy small plots of land as a, you know, and individually, and then they would and then turn over the land to him. So now he was able to get all the land cheap, as if they were just small operations, you know, of people that were buying land. So once he got all the land together, then he was able to get a model. And he had a model, like you see those things when skyscrapers are being built, when projects are getting done, or, you know, they have those 3D models. And he had kind of in the Iron Man movies, if anybody's a fan, speaking of Marvel, right? And he had that whole layout of the World's Fair back in the day. And that was basically the same way Disney did it. And so he would show people with different, you know, features in the park. It had about four or five different themes. You know, obviously the Main Street area, you know, the whole Disney parade experience. So when you first walk in the park, he wanted to, you know, set the table for you. He wanted to set the canvas up so he could start adding some colors and some paint to it. Right. But it gave you the feeling of you're on Main Street, and they give you, and they're welcoming you. All the characters are coming out. So imagine being a child and going there, and you're seeing Goofy, and you're seeing Mickey, and you're seeing Donald Duck, and you're seeing all the characters. But it's all set in a setting to let you know we're here for you. We're happy you're here. Right. They even call it the happiest place on earth. I mean, if that's not branding, I don't know what is. This guy's tagline was the happiest place on earth. So, I mean, you can't get any better than that. So what he did was build a product that was so good that he realized his demographic was families. Now, the interesting thing about that is you're getting four customers instead of one. Case in point, if you make golf clubs. Now, there are plenty of women who play golf, so I don't want you guys to, you know, start trying to hit me with all the emails and the backlash. What I'm saying is, traditionally, golf is a sport that, let's just say, the middle-aged males are more inclined to participate in, right? So, therefore, you would only be serving mainly, let's say, 80-20 of one gender demographic, the male or the family, the father, right? Now, he may pass the game down to his son, but that's going to be 20 years from now. But guess what? Families grow over time. So you have your first child, they want to take them to the Disney World, Disneyland. Then they have another kid a couple years later. Hey, guess what? We got to go back to Disneyland. And then when those kids grow up, right, they'll have children of their own. And guess where they're going to go? It becomes a family tradition. It builds the nostalgic feelings that, hey, I want my kid to experience what I did. And then the interesting part is, because it's a family thing, you had that element of keeping up with the Joneses. Because a lot of people who have never been to a Disney park take their children because they want them to have the experience. They almost, you know, knocking the kids out the line to get to the rides and stuff because they never went. They never had a chance to do it. So they're reliving their childhood through their children, or living vicariously, as we say. So I want you to just understand all of that. That was the beginnings, that, you know, of what he did. So he took his idea to the people. Right. And he would explain on every show what he was doing and how they were making, you know, how it would be the best park ever. And, you know, as the stages were developing. But behind the scenes, he was using that promotion to build a buzz. Right. So no matter whether it's 1952 or 2022, you still have the same process. You start with an idea, then you have a plan, then you execute the plan, but you can only do that in stages, and you have to build. But as new technology or new opportunities come around, you have to be willing to adapt. And you also, which means you have to be creative. You can't be rigid. Now, you may not be the most creative person in the world. Some people are very good at one thing, but when it comes down to coming up with ideas to do anything else, they often lack that, you know, that imagination. So get people around you. I tell you this, I tell you guys this all the time. Get people around you who have those skills. Build your team. And we'll get into that in later episodes, how you do that. Right. But so we already established they had the park. Right. He had the idea. He got the execution. He got the TV show. He started changing up his content from the short animations to the live actors, you know, doing storylines, doing classic novels, doing stories that he could, you know, would entertain people, but would be family entertainment. Then he had the idea for the park. He got the land. He broke people up into small groups. They bought the land and they all consolidated that. And he had a platform for free commercials. Because every in between all the storylines and the cartoons and the things he would put on there, he would tell you about his park. Now, what he was doing behind the scenes at that same time was gathering a buzz so he can get investors interested in investing in his venture, because he didn't have all the money he needed. And he knew that starting out, but he knew if he could make it seem so appealing, and he knew that, you know, the Mickey Mouse and the Disney brand was so popular that he could always expand on that brand and he would get people to invest in it. And so that sets the table for what is to come. Right. So we're going to look at that and say, OK, this is how he got going. This is what he did to take his game to just doing a short animation. Within 10 years time, he has the beginnings of a theme park. He has all his characters. He has, you know, national fame. People are hearing about him. You know, people are talking about him. And then what did he do? He recruited artists. He couldn't draw all the animations, right? That's a key lesson. He knew what he was good at. He was the visionary. He was the person who came up with the vision, but he knew how to recruit people and bring them in that were experts in what they did, but they would follow him because of his charismatic personality, right? But he knew what he wanted, and so he was able to put together a team of artists, right, that would draw up all these things and sketch up all these things. Then he had engineers and metal workers who could, you know, put the models together and build the sets that they needed to build to do the film. So he took those same people from building the sets to saying, hey, we're going to build this park. I need it to look like this is Main Street. So you would do the same thing you would do on a movie set. And then we want to have this ride and we're going to go through the safari. And then we're going to have, you know, Magic Mountain. And we're going to have all these things in the Cinderella with the castle and all that. So everything that they did, it was built. But think about it. They're not going to use real stone and bring in stonemasons to build a castle. They're going to do it as you would do it in Hollywood and make it, you know, people that know how to build sets and staging and develop 3D models of drawings. So well before they even had computers, he was getting all this stuff done. I mean, this is phenomenal, right? So you have to sit there and think about that. Right. So he had his whole crew of artists and people who were singers. You had to have music for the, whether it's an animation or whether it's a live action film, you have to have music in between the scenes, which means you have to get musicians and people who can put together music pieces, you know, arrangements and all of that type of stuff. Then you have to have writers. Right. Who's going to write all the scripts? Walt Disney going to write all the scripts? Right? He come up with the ideas. He got to draw the characters. He got to write the scripts and do the music. You can see very easily right now how many people it took. Right? And how big this vision got. And once you, the bigger you dream, the more pieces have to fall in place. So the more time it's going to take, even when you have money or even when you have a successful product. Right? And we can go on and on and on. So like I said, we're going to break this up into pieces so that we don't, you know, make it a 5-hour podcast. But I want you to just think about one thing. Disney was able to do something that started from a seed, the seed of an idea. But he noticed that people wanted good quality entertainment and people love to laugh. People love to smile. If you could keep them happy, the money that they were spending, they wouldn't even think of it as spending something that was a burden to them, right? They would see so much value in what he was giving them, which was nothing but an experience. Even watching a short animation is an experience. Think about the wind-up doll. You pull the string, it says something stupid, you laugh. You get a cheap laugh. But you can pull that string 100 times. And it'll have 3 or 4 or 5 phrases that it says. But it does its job. It does its function. It's very simple. But some of the most powerful things can be simple. And that's what I want you to take away from tonight. To stop overthinking it. Master your craft. Master the first thing you have. And then take that idea all the way to its ultimate conclusion, right? You want to develop the idea to the point. Now, that's what people mean when they say, don't just bring me an idea. Hey, we should make a cherry-flavored ice cream, whatever. Okay, that's a good idea, but how are we going to do that, right? What flavors, what type of cherries? Are you going to use real cherries or cherry flavoring or whatever? See how the questions come in. So have an initial plan of implementation, a proof of concept. So it's one thing to have the concept, but you need a proof of concept. But the whole point is to stay open to new ideas. The second point is to be willing to adapt to the new technology as it goes forward. Imagine if he would have said, oh, I don't want to do anything for colored television. That's never going to last. It's too expensive. A lot of the people around him told him that at the time. When he first started shooting those television shows, that was new technology, Technicolor and all that stuff. I know some of you, you know, some of you Gen X's, but some of you older cats, you remember that whole Technicolor thing, right? And it was a big deal because that was supposed to be the fullest, richest color. Now we would look at that TV, it would look black and white compared to what we got now. But it was something new, it was something fresh, right? And so he was able to change or adapt his product to fit the medium, right? To fit the platform that he could get the most eyeballs on it. And that is one of the secrets that most people are not paying attention to. You have a business. That business can either die or it can thrive. But more likely it will thrive if you are willing to adapt to the new conditions. So when you look at what's going on right now, I know we're all going through this pandemic. We're all going through the quarantine. I want to make sure everybody hears that and that we take that serious and to stay safe. And there's also a lot of people out here that are giving out a lot of positive information and trying to keep people's spirits up and also letting people know this is a time to get prepared, right? But at the same time, you have to do a self-evaluation and say, hey, what is in your gut, right? Follow your gut. That's what I want. That's why I keep telling you this was had to be a passion of his, and he had to go well beyond reason. Right. When everybody tells you, right, shout out to Pastor Michael Todd. He has a message called Crazy Faith. When that's a good idea to, oh, we'll give it a try. Do you realize that that is the hardest step to make from that's a good idea to telling people about your idea and then getting them to help you? Right. We'll give it a try. OK, we gave it a try. It didn't work. Now to go try again and to try again. But that third time, they're like, yo, man, I support you. But, you know, I got to get back because, you know, the wife's calling me, blah, blah, blah. How many people are going to ride with you all the way to the end? Or how many people are going to stick with you if everything around you is telling you to give up and to stop? What if Disney would have stopped? Oh, ain't no money in them animations, man. You need to sell cars. That's where the money is. You see all these highways? Remember, this is what, the 40s, the 50s? You need a car. You need to sell a car dealership. You could have Disney dealerships. It would be all over the country. And it would be just as easy to give in, but he saw a million dealerships, right? He wanted somewhere for when people get in that car for them to go. Now, think about that, because at that time, you didn't have as many options as you have today. And truthfully, how many options do you have today? You've been on every highway just like I have. It looks like you just passed strip mall, place to eat, dealership, place to eat, restaurant, pharmacy, big box store, place to eat, gas station, another place to eat. And we wonder why everybody in America is overweight. But where's the real destinations, right? Each state might have one or two water parks or something like that. But You know, back in the day, before my time, they had drive-in movie theaters, right? You had places to go, like actual tourist attractions, you know. People like to drive to the Grand Canyon. It's a big hole. And everybody from around the world comes there every single year to look at it, right? So he wanted to be the Grand Canyon, the location, the destination for when you got in that car. And that's another thing we have to look at, you know. Are you just following the herd and following the sheep, or are you leading the pack, right? And in my case, you want to lead the wolf pack. And so wolves are agile, right? They move. They're going to hunt in packs, and then they're going to move on to the next location. And so that's what I'm saying to you. Stay light on your feet. Make your moves. Be like Disney. Have a dream and have an idea, but then know the limitations of what you can do, and then enlist people and recruit people and hire people and, you know, get people to follow you so that you can build what you want to build. And obviously, it's going to take time. Now, you may have to have a 9-to-5 in the meantime. You may have to maybe have another business going that helps you make money to fuel this dream. Nobody said you could only have one dream. And then they also tell you do one thing at a time. And I just said, master your craft. But you got to eat while you're trying to work on your craft. You'll never master it if you can't work on it. You'll never be able to work on it if you can't take a break. You know, I mean, if you don't have any money to eat or any lights, right? If you can't pay your cell phone bill, how are you going to call anybody to set up any deals? So we got to be practical. We got to do what we can with what we have, but then we have to expand on to where we can take it and be committed to what, and have the discipline, right? That's a lot of discipline to build a park without the money to build the park, right? To get people to come up with characters that are in your mind. Think about that. Somebody's drawing something that's in your mind. So you have to give them some description of it. But at the end of the day, it's what's in your mind. And you know how hard it is for somebody to get what you're, you know, something that's a vision of yours. Right. And so that's just what you have to look at. So that's just the first layer here of decoding Disney. You know, we're going to get into some of the other holdings they have, and which are massive. Right. And we're going to show you how they took those steps. So we just went over the fundamentals tonight, right? We ain't get into how they own ESPN. Then we ain't get into all the ABC property they have and all some of your favorite shows. Then we ain't get into how they own one of the biggest streaming platforms. So they already in the game, right? Before we even get started, they in the game. And that's just something you want to pay attention to. You know, you want to pay attention to. You want to look at some of the big bosses and study their blueprint, right? Study the blueprint, and then you'll be able to understand what they did right, right? How they're moving, and how the evolution of what they did to just, you know, like a snowball effect. And now they're just an avalanche, man. There's no getting around it, right? Everybody had to get down. You talking about get down and lay down. I'm looking at Fortune 500 companies that had to lay down for the mouse, right? So therefore, when you're faithful to your vision, when you have a good idea and you write it down and you protect it, right? And then you recruit the people around you you need to get the things going that you need, you know, to make it real. That's when all these things will come to you. That's when everything will come together. And that's when you'll be able to expand and build your own empire. Right? You'll be able to get people and have a business that will be able to spawn off into several other businesses. And that's what I want to see you do. I want to see you take it to the next level. I want to see you be able to adapt to every platform or every opportunity. Right? You may have one type of business and you're doing well right now, but you're not. You have to look two steps ahead, just like in chess. You have to always be thinking about what the next move is. How can I expand? Right? No, when do I pull back a little bit and just wait and don't jump on the next fad? See, that's key before I get off of here tonight. When I say jump on the next technology and adapt, it has to be proven. Right? It has to be a stable. Now, even though color television was new, it was so much money invested in it And it was the future. I mean, what is TV going to stay black and white forever? So he was able to get in early because he realized it would develop. A lot of people didn't have color television sets at the time. But he knew that this thing would become popular. And it was worth it to get there early because he got there when it was cheap. But it wasn't cheap to broadcast that stuff, right? It might have been cheap to get accessibility to it because it was such a new platform. They didn't have their gatekeeper set up yet. But to broadcast in full color, you need cameras. And mind you, I keep telling you, we're talking about the 50s. So to broadcast in a whole new spectrum of colors, took a lot. So those shows were very expensive to shoot. So don't think it was sweet. And don't think he just, oh, yeah, that's the new technology. We're talking about cameras that, at that time were like big as a car. So you guys got to realize that, to be a visionary, it's not easy, right? To have a dream and have a vision and to stick to that vision and really promote that vision to the fullest capability, right? It's not easy, but you can do it because it has been done. We're looking at the blueprint now. So I'm going to leave you with that for tonight. Like I said, if you have any questions, comments, hit me across social media at Late Night Boss Talk. We're going to finish this series out. I'm going to do two more parts to it. This was part one. And then we're going to get into some of the other things. Like I said, some of the media property, some of the brands and everything, and how you can take some from that and learn from that about how to, spot brands who are good in their sector, and you can either emulate that or you can take them over, right? And so that's what I'm saying to you. Stay true and faithful to your visions. Watch the big players. Watch the big bosses, right? You got to see how the big bosses move. As Jay-Z used to say, I show you how to move in a room full of vultures. You got to be 2-3 steps ahead. Your business will work. You will take it to the next level. You will be a big boss. But you got to start from scratch. And you got to start with having a great idea, doing your research to see if it's a great idea. Just because you said it's great don't mean it's always great. But if it's something in your gut and you feeling that strongly about it, then go after it. You may do it in a way nobody else ever did it. Just because you are being used, or be authentic. But don't be afraid to be creative. We all have some creativity, in our DNA, right? Even when we think we don't, there's things we do in a way that nobody else does it. I don't care if it's tying your shoes, right? There's something you do, or combing your hair a certain way. The individualistic tendencies is part of being a human being. Find what makes you you. Find what people like about you, or find out that if that idea you have, that what the real statistics behind it are. Right? Find out, do some research on some of the companies who may be in that sector. If nobody's ever done it before, trust me, somebody got the patent on it. Somebody's thought of it and tried to do it, but maybe you're just going to be able to do it in a way that nobody's done it. So like I said, this is hit me at Late Night Boss Talk, right? Across all social media. This your boy Jay Gibson, the new face of finance. Get used to it. And you just listened to another episode of Late Night Boss Talk. Boss Talk 5, Decoding Disney Part 1. Let's get it. Tell that mouse the wolf is on the prowl. Ow!